Since 1889, Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service has been a trusted name in the Richland Center area, providing compassionate care and support for families during difficult times. For assistance, call 608-647-4808. Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, trusted by the community for over 135 years.
It's a little cheaper then, too. Fill me open, all your trails are happy. Until we talk again later on WRCO-FM in Richland Center, our update at 9 is sponsored by Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, continuing the long tradition of caring service to area families, and the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump's envoy Steve Witkoff is in Moscow. He's meeting with Vladimir Putin as the U.S. continues efforts to end the war between Russia and Ukraine. Meanwhile, the world continues to prepare for fallout from the trade war that's focused on China.
They're really pushing back hard against the president's repeated claims that he is, in fact, engaging in talks and negotiations with China to end this trade war that he started. The president, in a new interview with Time magazine, says that he has spoken to President Xi, but China is pushing back on that, calling it fake news, saying there are no negotiations on tariff issues and no agreement has been reached.
That's ABC's Rachel Scott in Washington. Over 100,000 people have been online to pay their respects to Pope Francis and file past his coffin in St. Peter's Basilica ahead of tomorrow's funeral. It's expected to draw over 200,000 people. And sentencing day for former Congressman George Santos, prosecutors seeking 7 years for wire fraud and identity theft. This is ABC News. A former New Mexico judge and his wife were arrested Thursday after three suspected members of a violent South American gang were found living in their guest house. ABC's Jim Ryan explains.
During a raid in February, Homeland Security agents found and arrested three Venezuelan nationals living on the property of Magistrate Joel Cano. The feds claim the three are members of the Tren de Aragua criminal organization. Cano and his wife were taken into custody yesterday, but claim in court documents they've done nothing wrong.
Toxic algae bloom that first made sea lions act aggressive has turned fatal, killing marine mammals in the waters off Southern California. Jenny Smith of the SeaWorld San Diego Rescue Team says,
I think that this is a naturally occurring event, and pollution, upwelling, everything can affect our water system. And one thing to remember is that everything goes to the ocean.
Experts say one factor here, the runoff and debris from January's fires. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
You work hard. Making the right choice for lunch isn't hard. The Phoenix Center opens at 11 Monday through Sunday with all your lunchtime favorites. Burgers, salads, terrific appetizers, specialty sandwiches, wraps, and more. Easy in, easy out. The Phoenix Center is the perfect way to break up the day. Can't get away for lunch? Let the team at the Phoenix Center serve you a great meal tonight, including the world-famous Phoenix Center Pizza. Call ahead at 649-7469 for carryout from the Phoenix Center in Richland Center.
This is Mark Jelenic of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service. We understand the loss of a loved one is a complicated and very stressful time for surviving family members. We pride ourselves on making final arrangements convenient and stress-free. Our services and memorial facilities have been designed with your family's comfort and convenience in mind. We are equipped to meet all of your requests, allowing you time to connect with family and friends while celebrating and reflecting on your loved one's life. The Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service's dedicated funeral directors and staff are here for you.
WRCO Hometown Weather Watch is sponsored by the Schultz Mortgage Team. Call 608-738-8765. Learn how you can own a home without needing 20% down.
Today's forecast calls for a high in the upper 50s. Showers should end by early afternoon. Northeast winds at 6 to 15 miles per hour. Clearing and brisk tonight, a low of 35. Saturday, 62 with pleasant conditions. Sunday, 67 and a bit breezy. Right now in Richland Center, after looks like a little over 2/10 of an inch of precipitation here at the studios today, south to southwest winds at 3, and we're at 43 degrees, up 1 from the overnight low. Today's morning show is next.
Las comunidades fuertes comienzan con hogares fuertes. Neighborhood Housing Services of Southwest Wisconsin. Stronger communities start with strong homes. Neighborhood Housing Services of Southwest Wisconsin is working to revitalize neighborhoods through housing support, community programs, and financial resources. We're committed to making our communities a better place to live, work, and grow. Join us in building a brighter future. Call 608-647-4949 today.
For those of us affected by the hailstorm recently, it can be a major pain. But Jones Chevrolet is here to help. We were affected just like lots of you were, so we're punching the accelerator to fix the damage caused to so many vehicles in Southwest Wisconsin. Call or stop by today to schedule your repair. We've got extra crews lined up so we can repair hail dings, glass damage, and paint damage. We will work with your insurance directly to get the claim paid for you, too. Jones Chevrolet Buick, Richland Center, your Chevy truck headquarters for over 100 years. Chevy, find new roads.
Transform your outdoor space with TriStar Mulch in Richland Center, your go-to destination for all of your landscaping needs. Whether it's gravel, washed gravel, decorative rock, black dirt, or the popular environmentally safe mulch in various colors, you are covered, loaded, or delivered. Their team offers friendly and professional service. Visit TriStar Mulch, located across from Simpson's Tractor in Richland Center, or call 383-1280 to place your order. No job is too big or too small. TriStar Mulch, where your landscaping dreams come to life. Call 383-1280 or visit them on Highway 14 East.
Welcome to Richland Family Restaurant Studios, where great music and good times meet.
It is our time to talk about GRACE, Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination, here on The Morning Show from WRCO. We have in the studio Walk Chair June Nee, along with Eileen Stevens, President, and Alan Kashubsky is here as well. He's a member of the GRACE Committee and looking at the upcoming Race for GRACE, which isn't very far away. We'll start with June today. June, as Walk Chair, you've got some busy things. It's a busy month of May, isn't it?
Yes. Good morning, Phil. Yes, we have kickoff coming up in May, so we're really excited to officially get Walk with GRACE kicked off. That will be on Thursday night, May 15th, at the Richland Community Center. And we're going to have a free will offering pancake supper, which the doors will open about 4:30. And the supper will include pancakes, sausage links, some warm cherries, applesauce, and a beverage. And the Kiwanis Club of Richland Center is providing this as a community service for GRACE. So we want to thank them so very much for that. And if you haven't had their pancake suppers before, they're really good. Come on out and join us. And this is a night where we want our teams to come and register. The amount for that is still $150. We've not changed that. And we'll invite our teams to register and then pick up their packets. They can pick up luminaries, calendar raffle tickets. They can pick up tickets for the car raffle and pick their team site. So lots of stuff going on that night.
Definitely. And I think that overshadowing maybe the supper, but that's always a free will offering. And we'll hope a lot of people, maybe even if they're not going to be involved in GRACE and have a team, it's a nice night to stop out, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. The public is welcome to join us, and anybody can come and enjoy that really yummy supper. So, yeah, please come on out and join us. And if you're thinking about having a team or you just want to learn more about GRACE, it's a great night to do that. We're also going to have a little program about kind of around 6 p.m. We'll see kind of how our crowd is. But that's the night that we will be introducing our four ambassadors for the year of 2025. So we're really excited about that. And we had, I think, about eight nominations. So it was really tough to get down to four. Every one of them were, we're just honored to have them nominated. Wish we could have all of them, but we are down to four. And so we're really excited to announce our ambassadors that night as well.
You're not going to give us a morning show exclusive here. We got to wait till the kickoff.
No, no morning show exclusive. So, but yeah, it'll be a, you know, kind of a short program. We're going to have some of the other chairs speak. Rob Renish for our registration chair is going to give an update on the packets and go through. And then I think other committee chairs like Eric Renish from Logistics may speak. So we'll have a few of those. And then I believe Alan Kazupski is going to be speaking about the Race for Grace that night, too.
Yeah, that week will kick off and then you get right in. I mean, there have always been some fundraisers going all the way along, but it's going to be really nice to get that going. And then 2 days later, have two big events on the same day. Right?
Yes, that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to that Saturday with Race for Grace that morning and then get all dressed up and go to the quilt gala that night. So, yeah, it's a busy kickoff for Grace, that's for sure.
Teams, that's the night when they actually register and get their packets. And commonly, do you have, you know, does it require a number of members of the team? Can you just have one or two or whatever?
No, there's no requirement for a number. I've been on teams over the years where, you know, I had my own family team and been on WRCO teams where, you know, we only had maybe 5-10 people. It really doesn't matter. If you're want to register and have a team, it doesn't matter how many, just come and join us. And it's just a lot of fun the night of the walk to have your team there and be a part of it.
So the theme again this year, could you go over that for us?
Yes, our theme is Cancer, get up, get up, get out of here. And that's kind of in memory of Bob Uecker. And so the colors will be blue this year. So it's, yeah, I like that one. It's pretty good. We had a couple of really good ideas floating around, and that one was the most popular. So.
And the T-shirts are going to be quite festive, it sounds like.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. There'll be a blue color. Depends on, you know, what's available, but I think we'll try to get it, you know, close to the Brewers colors. And then our raffle tickets will be like a yellow color. So, yeah, I think it's it'll be a lot of fun this year, kind of that baseball theme.
And then from there, that's the important one. But then what are the next steps after that as you get ready for the walk in August?
Yes, we have kickoff in May, and then we'll have our T-shirt order night in June. And I don't know that date offhand. And then in July will be T-shirt pickup. And then, in August 6th, that's a Wednesday night, at the Phoenix Center, we will have our Survivor Captain's Night. And that's when teams will bring their packets and turn them in because if they want their luminaries and to go into the recording and be read, they must turn those in that night. You can turn luminaries in at the walk, but that is to, they will make sure that they're in on the video that Nova Video will do, and also to be on the radio for reading the name. So then we have that. There will be a free will offering pizza dinner that night, and we'll also have speakers from Gunderson and the UW-Carbone.
Plans are being made for the radio auction again. If somebody would like to contribute or help out or donate, things are underway, right?
Yep. We'll get letters out soon, and then we'll be, I believe there's already donations coming in. I think Eileen's going to touch on that a little bit. But, if you want to donate, we'd like to have those donations in by July 10th. If you want to donate a basket or an item, that would be very much appreciated.
For the kickoff night, then, if somebody is not a member of a team or a committee or whatever, you still could always use some help, I'm guessing, setting up and tearing down, right?
Yeah, we'll always take volunteers. We like to help set up. The Kiwanis Club is so generous with their time. We want to make sure we have plenty of help there for them. So we help set up, and then a lot of us are help serving whatever they need us to do, and then we stay and make sure we clean up and take care of everything.
Wonderful. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think that's it. Just please mark Thursday, May 15th on your calendars. And even if you don't have a team, just please come out and support Grace. And all proceeds go right to the Grace basket and helping patients. So all that your money will go to a good cause. And like I said, you're going to get a great meal of pancakes, sausage links. Those warm cherries are really good. Applesauce and a beverage. So come on out and join us.
When we were kids, it was always really cool when you have breakfast for supper. And that's one of those nights where you could do that, you know?
Yes, so. I always love to have I love breakfast anyway. So breakfast for supper is really good.
Great time on the 15th. All right. Well, thanks for coming in, June. We appreciate the update.
Thank you, Phil.
Alan Kashubsky is here as well. Alan, things are moving right along. In fact, you've been coming here every month, and this is the last morning show before your walk or your race for grace then, right?
Yeah, it's hard to believe, Phil. But before we talk about the race, I'm telling you, I'm getting hungry for pancakes for supper.
Sounds good just talking about it, doesn't it?
Maybe we could have a competition that night to see how many pancakes we could eat.
Now, that's the one competition that I could get involved in. I don't have to move. Sounds good to me. But, things are kind of in place then for the 17th then, right?
Yes, yes. It's looking really solid. May 17th, we've got the Race for Grace. This is our second year doing it, so we're really excited about it. You know, we're not quite experts yet, but we're a little smarter than last year. So we got a lot of good things going. For those of you that haven't heard about it yet, just let me review a couple things. So on May 17th, we're going to have the Race for Grace at the Dr. Killian Meyer Building, which is right by the Richland Center Community Center. And at 7:30 in the morning, we'll have the 1 mile. And for that 1 mile run or walk, we'll also have the Firefighters Challenge. And right now we have seven teams signed up that are going to be wearing their firefighter gear doing that 1 mile or their police gear, because we have a team from the Richland County Sheriff's Department and a team from the Richland Center Police Department joining our firefighter team. So we're really excited about that. I know they've been egging each other on a little bit and to see who's going to be fastest. So we'll find out, because we're going to chip time them. So we'll get the official results that morning, but they'll all be winners and we'll be cheering them on, you know, no matter who comes in first or last. It's going to be a lot of fun. So after that 1 mile, at 8 o'clock that morning, we're going to have our 10K runners start, and that will be a run. And then at 8:10, we have a quarter mile run for the kids. And that was a blast last year. You know, we had when you get to see those young kids wearing a race bib and they've got their running shirts on and hopefully going the right direction, it's a lot of fun. And then at 8:30, we have our last event for that morning, and it'll be our 5K starting off.
Mm-hmm. So you got it tapered pretty well, it sounds like, where people can be there at the finish line to cheer people on and then send the next group off then.
Yeah, absolutely. So we tried to change up the order from last year. You know, we tried to space it out a little bit more to avoid the, people running into each other, you know, trying to get around each other for that, you know, for our fast people, wanting those good times, and tried to remove some of those bottlenecks for everyone.
Okay. And what about the course, Alan? Is it the same as last year?
So that's a great question, and it's close to the same as last year. But if you go to walkwithgrace.com and then click the first button on there to talk about the race, you'll find a link on the race site then for the maps. We have the maps out there for each of the events. But they're very close. So if you did it last year, they're very close. The only big difference is that we're not able to go on the UW campus grounds this year.
Okay. But kind of in the same direction then, right?
Yeah.
Just kind of loop around.
And... Yep. So the 10K kind of goes up into Allison Park and then comes back and then goes out to the Richland Center High School. And the 5K just kind of goes out to the Richland Center High School. And the 1 mile, we just keep that right in Crescut Park, which is really nice.
Initially, are you getting pretty good response online from people registering?
We are. It's been great. We're ahead of last year. We're hoping to grow it a little more yet. You know, we'd like to see people continually to register. And about that, you can still register online at walkwithgrace.com. Or you can come to the Grace office when we're open to register in person. Or you can pick up a registration sheet at Simon's Recreation Complex. They have them at the front desk as well. But we want people, if you want a T-shirt, it's very important that you register before May 1st. we have to submit our t-shirt order on May 1st. So everyone that registers before May 1st will be guaranteed a t-shirt and a swag bag full of goodies. And we're just so grateful for all the businesses that have been sponsoring us, whether it's something in the swag bag or the t-shirt sponsorships. And our start finish line, Jewel Associates Engineers is sponsoring our start finish line this year. So we're just overwhelmed by all the support.
How much is the entry fee?
Great question, Phil.
And now I'm putting you on the spot here.
You're putting me on the spot. No warning at all.
Well, I was going to say is no matter what the entry fee is, you're probably going to get it back in your swag bag the way it sounds because you have a lot of goodies in there, don't
Absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. There's a lot of great things there. But thankfully, thanks to that great website at walkwithgrace.com, I can look up the registration fees.
That was quick.
Yes. Yes. Very fast. So for the kids race, it's $20. For the 1 mile, it's $25. For the 5K, it's $35. And for the 10K, it's $45.
That's very good. June, you've been in a number of races. That's pretty reasonable, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. That's very reasonable. And for a great cause.
I think that hopefully people will jump at the chance here, right? And last year, it was so impressive to see families and grandpas and grandmas and pushing strollers. And that makes it really a nice Grace event, doesn't it?
It was. It was really neat. We had such a wide range of people. We had wide range of abilities. You know, I saw some people that the 1 mile was a real challenge for them. And they made it. And you could see how grateful they were for making it. I know that there are people that the 5K was a challenge for them. And then we have our real runners that are doing the 10K and just knocking the times off. It's just amazing. But, you know, in the 5K, I saw families with strollers as well. So it was just such a wonderful mix. What I saw constantly, though, were a lot of people smiling and having a great time, which was wonderful.
So May 1st is the deadline to get a T-shirt, but then if you register like the day of the event, there's still some opportunities too, correct?
Yeah, so we will get a few extra shirts because we learned from last year, too, that there's definitely a few procrastinators out there, and we want to, you know, try to be nice to some of them, but there will be very limited sizes, so we'll order a few extra of the common sizes. But even if we run out of the shirts, we might have some swag bags for you yet. But even if you don't get any of those, just still know that your funds go to a great cause. So all the proceeds from this event go directly to Grace and to our general fund. But the swag bag, like you mentioned, Phil, we do have a lot of great things. Grace is putting sunscreen in there because that fits right along with our prevention. There's a dollar off a value basket for Culver's. There's an entry form that the Richland Locker is providing for a chance to win a camping bundle or a picnic pack or a sweatshirt. There's a free wine tasting from Wild Hills Winery. There's going to be some canned koozies, a $1.50 off coupon at Christie's Sunnyside, a $10 off coupon at Bindle's for a standard oil change. And then we have the kids' swag bags, too. And they really got some good stuff in there, Phil.
Awesome.
Yep. But you're not going to be able to get one of those. No. I'm sorry. But there's a free custard from Culver's and free ice cream from Utter's Brothers, along with some other stuff that we expect to get that we don't know the full details of it yet, other than it sounded like flashy lights and blinky things.
And what kid doesn't love that? Sounds like it's going to be just a great time coming up. Eileen Stevens is here as well. Eileen, a lot of exciting news. Tell me a little bit about the Casanova Polar Plunge, which they had their finale, their swan song. But I understand that there's some money to be divvied out.
Yes, there is. Well, good morning, Phil. I mean, it's, what are we, 105 days from the big race, or the big walk, I should say. The race is sooner than that.
That marked on your calendar?
But marked on my calendar, 105 right. days counting down here. But yes, the Polar Plunge, as you know, they will be doing a press release regarding the Polar Plunge, and they raised an impressive amount this year at their February event. They're wrapping things up, and we will do a big check presentation on Sunday, May 4th. That's going to be at the Still Pub and Grill in Yuba. So if you want to be the first to see that total, you need to pop up there and be there for when we do the big check. Again, that's Sunday, May 4th at 11:30 a.m. We appreciate, you know, Christy Latica and all the work that she has done and her team. Christy's my contact. I use her name, but there's obviously a community that puts that together for us, and we're very, very appreciative of that. Their 2024 total, if you remember, was over $40,000. Then they announced that 2025 was going to be their last year of the plunge, and I'll tell you, they have gone out with a bang with what we've seen so far. We are anxious to do that big check for them on the 11th, so pretty excited.
The 4th, you said.
Or the 4th, yes.
Yeah, it's Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you, by the way.
Yeah, so may the 4th be with you, at 11:30.
You can celebrate accordingly there in Yuba that day.
Yes.
Well, we've been seeing the car all over the place. Can you give us an update on the car raffle?
Yes, the car raffle. It's still sitting at Chet's, I think, as of this morning. So it's out and about, so it could just be an I Spy game as where's the Grace car. Of course, we're doing that in conjunction with Jones's. We are only selling 6,000 tickets for that car. And we're asking, you know, the teams are going to work hard at that fundraiser. They don't only, not just the car, but they're going to have the calendar raffle tickets coming out here shortly. And the teams that sell the tickets, of course, that amount goes towards their team total. So if a team does a bake sale and say they do $300, but they sell 25 car raffle tickets at $20 each, that's another $500. So their team will be credited for $800. So as long as they're selling the tickets, they're turning the money in with the tickets, that all counts towards their team total, as well as the calendar raffle tickets that will be coming out. So they do get credit for that. And we already have over $6,000 worth of tickets turned in.
Wow.
And we're just really getting started. I mean, tis the season. It's coming out for the parades and the, you know, the Mushroom Festival, the community events. I mean, every community has something going on. So if we can get the teams out there selling those tickets, that would be great.
The car kind of sells the ticket itself because it's so bright and flashy, isn't it?
It is bright and flashy. And, of course, even the raffle tickets themselves, I mean, that blue and that, it just pops on that white stock or cardstock. And then, as June said, the shirts are going to be blue this year to kind of, you know, bring that together with the car and with the Brewers and everything else. So, yeah, the car is amazing.
If someone is listening and they'd like to have the car show up at an event, how can they go about that? Contact Grace?
Right. They can just contact the Grace office. They can either give us a call at 608-604-8255, whether they want it at their place for an event they're doing or if they want to have it for 2 days, a week, whatever, we can get it out there. We put it in the parades. So if you have a parade coming up in your community, let us know about that. We'll get the car up there. We're pretty vigilant about the miles. You know, of course, we don't want to put a lot of miles on the car, but we do want to get it out there to the parades and that. So just let us know. We'll certainly get that car to you if it works, if it's not already spoken for. We have Deanna keeps a nice list for us as to where it's at and stuff.
Good deal. That leads us into another question, because I know, Grace, you'd like to get involved in a few parades this year, Alan. Is that correct?
Yeah. But before I go into the parades, Phil, I just want to say I'm going to knock on wood. I don't want to jinx this car, but this car avoided that last hailstorm that we had, too.
Oh.
I took a close look at it, and I did not see any hail damage, so I was very thankful for that as well.
It's a good thing.
So
it's
a lucky car. Someone wants this car.
Wow. Yeah, it was like somebody dumping buckets of ice off the roof that morning. So
yeah,
somehow.
Unfortunately, I cannot say the same for my truck. My truck was not as lucky as that Grace car was.
Well, that's good. So no hail damage.
Yes. Yep. So it's looking good. Pretty blue. But yes, parades. So Grace, the last few years has been getting back into the parades in the community, and one nice thing that we had the last couple of years, we've had a parade coordinator, and there's so many different things going on with Grace. It's really nice to have someone that can kind of focus in on certain things, and when we had a parade coordinator, they would look at, you know, the parades coming up, who we might need, how many people, the banner, you know, the stickers, the flyers to hand out and stuff, and kind of coordinate for a meeting place, a time for people. And that was really special. That was helpful to get everything organized. And the person that we had last year did a wonderful job, but she moved away from the area. So we're actually looking for someone to help out with that again. So if you're someone that has, you know, organizational skills, you like what Grace does, send us an email. Go to walkwithgrace.com, and there's an info submission at the bottom of the website that you can say, hey, I'd like to help out, or use the phone number that Eileen provided earlier, and just let us know that you would like to help out, maybe be a parade coordinator, and we'd love to have your help.
All right, sounds good. That's a good place to take a time out. We've got more to talk about with Grace, including the upcoming quilt gala and more stuff here when the morning show continues.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Paul from Prescription Center. For over 40 years, we have been a trusted member of the health care of our community. We've always been here for everyone. From West Seminary Street, where it all started, to the hospital, and now to Saxonville Road, we have provided honest advice, low prices, and with the help of many of our friends, a pay-it-forward account to help those that can't afford their medication. We are humbled by the trust we have earned. We have always made every effort to make pharmacy affordable to all. We accept all insurances because you deserve to have your plan honored. The only area pharmacy to take TRICARE and CHAMP VA. What better way to say thank you to those who served? We thank all for their trust. If you want this type of service, let us be your pharmacy of choice.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Hi, this is Daniel Miller, Old Cooch Books and Libation, downtown Richland Center. Got a lot of new books for you, and replenishing from Christmas, and the kids' books especially. Old Cooch Books and Libation, a full-service bookstore. Order for you anytime. Old Cooch Books and Libation. Don't forget, we wrap presents for free.
On our morning show today from WRCO Radio, we're talking about Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination, one of the crown jewels of the Richland Center in southwestern Wisconsin area. Eileen Stevens and Alan Kaczewski remain in the studio with us. We wanted to touch on the quilt gala, which I know I've talked a little bit about it on this morning show, but it's getting closer as well. It's the night of the 17th, Eileen.
It is, May 17th. It's a team fundraiser. It's out at the community center. You've probably seen it posted around town. It's on Facebook. It's a gala, so that means it's going to be fancy black tie affair. It's going to be fun. I think they're going to make a great event out of that. It's $10 a person at the door. The doors will open at 6. The auction starts at 8, so that will give the attendees, you know, ample time to take a closer look at the quilts, closer look with the eyes, like we tell our kids, use your eyes, not your hands. Please don't touch the quilts. I think they're going to have some special gloves there for you, though. Enjoy some finger food, and then, you know, plan your bidding strategy as to, you know, what you're going to bid on, and they'll have a licensed bartender on staff that or at the community center, so they'll have wine and beer available for purchase, if anybody would like to participate in that. So I'm excited about this fundraiser. That's one thing when I started volunteering with Grace, and, you know, you saw these beautiful quilts at the silent auction and stuff like that, and I really wanted to get them out separate into a different venue. And so when this came in, it was like perfect, because there's so much work that those individuals put into those to making those quilts that, you know, I think this gala will really get more value for those. And then, not to say that there won't be a quilt at the night of the walk, there may be, where it could be silent auction, it could be bucket raffle. With the bucket raffle, we get a pretty decent number of tickets in that, because, you know, there's a lot of people who don't have the disposable income to lay out $200 or $2,000 for a quilt bid, but they are able to put a few dollars worth of chances into the bucket. So we do have a, you know, pretty decent amount there.
Lorna Maxwell is the one to contact for more information.
Or exactly. Maybe, Lorna, yep. Yeah, Lorna Maxwell.
Have a keepsake you want to put in there. You probably can still do that, too.
Exactly, yep. And she gave us her number. Her number is 608-647-4234. So hopefully, I know they're going to have a great event.
You recently had a really nice donation of some tickets. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, just out of the blue, somebody actually outside of our service area, they aren't even in the counties that we serve, but they've heard about Grace, they know about Grace, and they wanted to give these tickets to Grace. But the event is coming up here soon. It's May 16th through the 18th. They provided us with two VIP tickets for opening weekend of Road America for their spring vintage weekend. So that they're going to have cars from several decades. They're going to have like the Lotus, the Alfa Romeo, Romero, I think it's called, Jaguar, Porsche, Corvettes from the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And also featured this year, they're going to have the Dave Wheeler Memorial. That's a Mazda Miata race that they're, that's new. So again, these tickets are a $720 value. These are finished line tower suites at Road America. That's located at the start and finish line and straight across from the main paddock, which of course is the hub of where everything takes place. These suites are furnished. They're climate controlled. They have a staff that is attends to everything that you need. They have restrooms conveniently located on the floor, two high-definition screen TVs providing featured timing, scoring, live feed of the races. The package includes admission for all 3 days, the 16th, 17th, and 18th. Saturday and Sunday is access to the suite. So that suite opens up at 8 a.m. Saturday, we'll have a continental breakfast provided. Sunday, we'll have a hot breakfast provided. They have a hot lunch followed by afternoon snacks, plus beer, wine, water, and soda are included. The tickets provide access to the paddock each day, so that's where you can get up close and personal to the cars and the drivers. Also has VIP parking passes and VIP tower rooftop viewing access, which is ADA accessible. So it's pretty cool. The only thing not included in this package is like a hotel or campgrounds. You have to get your own place. But, I mean, boy, if we have a pair of people that would love to do something just wow for the weekend that will benefit Grace, again, it's $720 is the retail value. We will be putting these on Facebook as a silent auction. So pay attention. We're going to ask people to share it, promote it, and we really hope we can do something great with this. And should, I mean, I know the weather's going to be fantastic here for Alan's race and for the gala because we don't want anybody getting their, you know, fancy clothes messed up. But should it rain in Plymouth and they have to cancel the race, the tickets are good for next year.
Oh, okay.
So it's great.
Wonderful opportunity. I know that a lot of car enthusiasts out there, but just to see those old cars and running in tip-top shape, and that's just really, I can see somebody really taking to that, and hopefully more than one, because for a good auction, you need at least two to bid against each other.
Right, right. Get the bidding wars going there, because I think it's going to be, I would love to do that. I just think it's great.
Let us know when that is up, so we can promote it as well, you know, when
you bet.
You've got it ready to go for people to put their bids in.
You bet. We will make it well known.
Awesome. And all the proceeds go to Grace.
All the proceeds go to Grace. Yeah. You betcha. And well, it's, like I said, it's a donor from even outside our service area. So that was wonderful.
Thank you to them. That's just great. What about some other miscellaneous? There's something going on all the time for Grace, isn't there?
Oh, for Grace, there's always something going on. And Alan, help me out if I miss any, because I know we're talking about I think there's a barbecue with the Richland County Bank. There's a drive-through barbecue. There's going to be hot dog stands and brat stands and bake sales, KC Bingo, not all of them, but some of them, the food, the food stand goes to whatever they choose, but there's some of those that go to Grace. A few teams doing Culver's Share Night. So again, we have great teams doing great things. And I do want to clarify that when the teams are doing their fundraising, that's kind of like a second party that's fundraising for Grace. Their events are not a Grace-sponsored event, but it's a team-sponsored. And I stress that. I know you've heard me stress that before, because businesses will often say, well, we've already donated to Grace. But when you're donating to the teams, it's not being donated to Grace. It's being donated to an individual who's doing a fundraiser with the intent of the money's going to Grace. So there's a little bit of a difference there. There's only two events that are official Grace events, and one you've heard Alan talk about. It's a great event. They do solicitation, I'd say more for the swag bags, for maybe bars, fruits, water for the race, stuff like that. That's an official Grace-sponsored event. And then, of course, the Walk with Grace in August, always the second Friday, is the other Grace events. So when people donate to those events, it's a donation to Grace. And June had mentioned earlier, of course, the auction committee has met. We're getting ready to send out letters. If you do not receive a letter and you want to donate, just give us a call. Again, the number is 608-604-8255. Or you can email Grace Local Cancer, that's one word, gracelocalcancer@gmail.com. We're going to begin collecting the donations. We'll be taking photos. We'll get them out there on our Facebook page. And I believe it goes on the website as well. Alan, is that correct? Mm-hmm. The photos will go out there. But we need those prior to July 10th so we can get the people recognized, get the pictures of the items out there as well. Individuals that wish to donate, you know, please reach out as well. We ask that you donate new items. While we do appreciate all donations, we do not have the space for, you know, cleaning out the closets or cleaning out the basements. So give us a call. Anything you donate, give us a detail on it. Sometimes people will donate something of significant, but unless, if we don't know that, we don't know what the significance it is behind it. Give us the dimensions, and you know, if it's a, I'm just going to use quilt because that's something with dimension, you know, or a wall hanging. Give us the depth and the width and the height, so we can. It sells better when we have more detail with it, and we always let people know too. The auction committee will determine where the item goes because we've got the silent auction, we've got the bucket raffle, we've got the WRCO. Of course, we usually do 5-10 big items for the radio auction. So we'd be looking for, you know, some significant of the big ticket items for the radio auction. But otherwise, everything else will be determined by the Grace or the auction committee as to where they'll be divvied out at.
All right. What about community grants? I know you wanted to talk about that before we wrapped up here today.
Yeah, check out our website. I mean, if we've got, there's a lot of, you know, medical, you know, like between Boscobel, Richland Center, et cetera, the clinics and that have, that serve our community members. So I just want to remind everybody that we do have funds available for the education and medical community in our service area. If they have stuff related to prevention, education, whether it's medical research, as long as it needs to be cancer related, the application is pretty simple. You describe the audience that you hope to reach in your project that you're seeking funds for. Explain how the project with those will benefit those in our service area. It could be prevention, screening. If it's a piece of equipment, what does that piece of equipment mean? I mean, you can give us some big name of something, but what does that mean in relation to how is it going to serve our people with cancer screening or cancer prevention? And again, there's no big WRCO reveal here, but we do have a pretty exciting, we get grants in, and we do have one that's pretty exciting. We're excited about it, but that'll be something for May, so you'll just have to wait because that's still in the works.
We'll get the exclusive then.
Get the exclusive then, yeah.
Next time. Alan, some miscellaneous things that you wanted to talk about here as we get set to wrap up?
Yeah, Phil, just to, you know, to tag on to what Eileen was saying, if you want to know what some of the fundraisers are coming up, just the best thing to do is to watch the Grace Facebook page. And especially real soon, possibly even this weekend, we might have that wonderful ticket package to Road America out there. We're still trying to line things up for publicizing that and for promoting it and actually running the silent auction on Facebook. It takes a little work to prepare for. But as soon as we get that out there, we will be letting people know and we'll be sharing that on all of the local groups as well. So, but that's probably the best place to go to find out about the Walk with Grace team fundraisers, also with the two big events for Grace on the Grace Facebook page. We have some things on Instagram, but Grace Facebook and sometimes our website, walkwithgrace.com as well. And if you don't know the Grace Facebook page, go to walkwithgrace.com. And then in the upper left, there's a little Facebook icon that you can click on that will take you to the Grace Facebook page.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
You have questions about that from time to time. Impressive totals. I mean, last year was just outstanding. Maybe you could talk about your overall Grace kitty. It's just amazing when you add up the numbers, isn't it, Eileen?
It is. I mean, you look at last year, our 2024 totals for the year were $313,993.50. Mm-hmm. So that was an impressive total, and that's thanks to our, you know, generous business owners, our teams, all the individuals that make this such a success. You know, it's Grace is nothing without the volunteers and the teams. That's what it's all about. You know, the residents of the 37 townships, we provide service. They can feel confident that, in the words of Ron Fruit, that when the bad news is cancer, the good news is Grace. We're here to help them. We can put gas in their tank when they have to run for all those appointments, take care of a utility bill, maybe pay a hotel room for a night before an early morning procedure. We're just, Grace is here to give a little bit of relief during a very stressful and worrisome time. Overall, in the 21 years that, because we're doing our 22nd year now, in the 21 years, we have done $4,995,125.39. So we were less than $5,000 from hitting, you know, $5 million. So that was pretty cool. But you know, the money we raised last year, that was just simply hard work, dedication, no big ticket items last year. So that brings me to, I'm dreaming big this year. I'm dreaming in color. I'm confident that our dedicated teams and businesses with their huge hearts, I'm looking at $500,000 this year. That's my,
wow.
That's my big dream is, I think we have it in us.
That's really a lofty goal.
It is. Well, I say, you know, it's our teams. We're not competing against each other. Our teams have a solid base, and that's what it is. They're working towards a common goal to support everyone in our service area, whether you or your team donates $25, $2,500, $25,000, it all goes in the same pot for the same purpose. And I will recognize little Sally's $15.47 from her lemonade stand just the same as I'd recognize somebody else. She will get that big check when she turns in that money.
Mm.
So it's about everybody. It's a fantastic organization.
Yeah, it's always inspiring, that's for sure.
It is very inspiring. And, you know, sometimes people wonder, what do we do with that money? Well, for the last board meeting for March, we had 8 people that applied for assistance from Grace. And all of those 8 people were approved. So again, that's people battling cancer in our service area. And for the month of March, we had, unfortunately, 8 of those that were requesting assistance, and we were happy to grant that to them.
Wow. Awesome. Yeah, unfortunately, there's always a need, it seems like. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Appreciate what you guys do, and appreciate the upcoming events. Of course, we'll be there for your big race coming up on the 17th. And
looking forward to it, Phil.
Look forward to that. And I know June will be at the gala. I'm going to try to hide my checkbook that night. So
you got to prepare for the winter, Phil. It's going to be cold, so you're going to need a nice new quilt.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Especially when the Packers play the Bears. We're going to have to
bundle up.
Thanks, guys. Alan Koszubski, Eileen Stevens. Stevens, earlier June Nee was in to talk about Grace this month here on The Morning Show.
Does your job offer 6 weeks of paid time off in the first year? Rockwell Automation does. How about a $2,500 sign-on bonus? Yep, they've got that too. Add in a 401k with company match, paid parental leave, tuition reimbursement, and more. First shift starts at over $22 an hour, second shift over $24, and it's not your typical manufacturing job. It's Rockwell Automation in Richland Center. Apply at rockwellautomation.com/careers or stop in for walk-in Wednesdays 10 to 4. Rockwell Automation, where talent meets opportunity and where they meet you.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Boarding House Antiques in Richland Center, where you can treasure hunt in 17 rooms of antiques and gifts. There's live music at the Garden Stage every second Friday of the month, June through September. Tammy and Margie invite you to visit Tuesday through Saturday. Check out the historic Boarding House Antiques. Check them out on Facebook and their webpage. They buy antiques. 339 West Seminary Street in Richland Center, next to the depot.
Badgerland Flooring of Southwest Wisconsin was started in 2008 with a goal of helping Richland County and the surrounding areas with all their flooring needs. Since then, our business has expanded from our showroom to the variety of work by offering full kitchen and bathroom remodels, tiled walk-in showers, along with quartz, laminate, and granite countertops. After 17 years, we still say, if you can dream it, we can build it. So stop in or call us today and let Badgerland Flooring of Southwest Wisconsin make your dreams become reality.
Brian Reisinger joins us on our morning show get-together from WRCO Radio. We had him on last August talking about the book Land Rich, Cash Poor, about our farmers here in southwestern and southern Wisconsin and across the country as well. Brian, how are you doing these days?
Hey, I'm doing good, Phil. Thanks for having me. It's good to be with you.
We understand that you'll be a part of a big event coming up this weekend in Viroqua. What can you tell us about it?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Well, this is the Rivers and Ridges Book Festival, and it's this Saturday, and I'm going to be speaking at 11 a.m., and I'm going to be out there talking about our family farm here from Triflis area, southwestern Wisconsin, that's been around for more than 100 years, and all the issues that are driving disappearance of farms like this.
And in the event, I'm guessing there'll be a lot of people that kind of can relate to your story, too, right?
Yeah, you know, I think so. There's people who come from all over the place for this event, and I think that the reality of the situation is that they have seen what's happened to our rural communities as we've lost our farms. They've seen what's happened to our farms, and they've seen what happened to our food supply. You know, the fact that it affects every single American dinner table, regardless of whether people have set foot in a barn before or not.
Prices at the grocery store certainly are on everyone's mind right now, too, right?
Yeah, that's right. You know, it used to be that you could buy your groceries off the national and international supply chain, and what they had in the grocery store was about as good as what you're going to get anywhere else. These days, the reality is that after COVID and also after bird flu, we've seen the supply chain vulnerabilities that we have. In, you know, the COVID times, what we saw is that people weren't able to find the food they needed on the grocery store, and if they could, the price is through the roof. This is at the same time that farmers weren't able to sell their goods. We're seeing that happen all over again now with bird flu, where you aren't able to get eggs, and in some cases chicken, in the grocery store. And at the same time, you got farmers who are not able to sell their eggs. And that's because the bird flu has been wiping out facilities. If you've got a great big distribution center that has an outsized impact on our food supply, if that distribution center goes down, you're suddenly short on eggs. And that's what we're experiencing right now.
You're still involved, or your family's still involved in farming in the Spring Green area? Is that correct?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. My dad is listening to WRCO every morning during milking.
All right.
And yeah, that's right. And he's still farming. My sister's working to take over for him. They are raising custom heifers for other dairy herds rather than milking ourselves. We sold our herd in early 2021. We're raising beef for consumers, raising cash crops. As for me, I'm just honored to be able to tell our story. I pursued a writing career off the farm, and now I tell our story in my book, Land Rich, Cash Poor, and in columns. And along the way, I'm searching for solutions. And, you know, they have me involved on the business side as we do our long-term planning. And like any farm kid, they throw me in a tractor on my day off as well.
Oh, that's fun. That's kind of the outlet. Do you do some of your best work thinking while you're driving the tractor?
Oh, yeah, that's right. You know, you get the sun coming down on those fields, and you can just drive along and breathe that fresh country air, and all of a sudden things are a little more clear.
You actually have had some recent outings where you've been talking, promoting the book and things like that. You had one in the Spring Green area, didn't you?
I did. Yeah, I had one at Arcadia Books, and, you know, they actually had to move it to the local high school library because it was so popular with people. The place was so packed. I had former teachers there, and I was just so humbled and grateful for that. The fact of the matter is that traveling across the country has been a real privilege for me, and I get the chance to hear from farm families all across the country. It means the most to me when the book resonates with farm families, but I also hear from all kinds of people who grew up in small communities or other places where they know where their food comes from. And, you know, when I hear from those small farm families, I'm actually a little bit nervous sometimes. My dad gets kind of excited when I'm talking to farm families. I get a little nervous because I don't know what I'm going to tell them that they don't already know. But you get such real connection, and you hear from people about what it is they're trying to do to get their farm to move forward, how they're trying to overcome the rising expenses. And there's nothing like hearing from local farm families about how it is they're overcoming this to be able to feed our country.
Brian, can you share with us maybe some things that you've learned while traveling the country and appearing at some of these events?
Yeah, you know, one thing that I've learned is that people don't really know where their food comes from. I ran into a lot of people who think that the chocolate milk comes from the brown cows.
No.
Yeah, I also hear from people who think their food comes from a store. And, you know, what I say to people is that, you know, you have to be aware where your food comes from if you want to understand these problems. And you see the light bulb go off. You know, you see people ask about where their beef comes from, where the pork comes from, where the milk comes from. And you realize that there's reason for optimism. You know, I think about my dad. He was at the tender age of 8. He had to step up on the farm. My grandpa slipped off a corn crib and broke his back. My dad stepped up. And, you know, people hear those stories and the light bulb goes off. You hear them realize what we can do, and they ask how many farms we got left. And I say, you know, we've got nearly 2 million farm families left, and they've been farming even though we don't make the economics work in this country. Imagine what they could do if we made the economics work again.
I was in Switzerland some years ago and so impressed by them because most of the farms were throwbacks to what we looked like in the 60s, you know, and 70s here in Wisconsin. You know, small farms, maybe one tractor and, you know, 30, 40 cow herds.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you hear about these farms where the cows are walking with the cowbells around their neck, like in the Swiss Hills, you know, and I think that that goes back to a simpler time, a quieter time, and also a time where we had farmers who sold individual food products at local markets. They might sell eggs, they might sell bull calves, they might sell raspberries, they might sell peaches or apples or lettuce, and people bought their food from a market, a lot like a farmer's market, like you see on Sundays these days. But, you know, really it's people who have the money, and it's people who are near those farmer's markets these days that enjoy those. But the fact of the matter is that that used to be the way that most of our food was produced in this country, and most of our farmers sold at farmer's markets like that. And so most of our consumers and families bought their food at markets like that. And I think that's a world that we can return to as long as we make sure that American innovation can bring all of our farms along. And we look at how do we make sure that we meet that market demand as opposed to just trying to chase the almighty dollar.
Yeah, we're seeing that with some small farms where they're diversifying and doing some things and trying to find that niche that maybe no one else is doing, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You know, a really good example of that is eggs right now. You got people raising chickens. Some people are doing it in their backyards. What we've found is that you can do pasture-raised chickens, where if you have chickens who are raised on pasture, they're not just eating feed, they're able to produce a lot cleaner meat and a lot better egg. And that's something that we've found in the local area has been really popular. Another thing that's really popular is honey. You got farmers raising honeybees. Now, there are diseases and other problems with honey herds all across the country, really. But the reality is that if you raise bees and raise up that local honey, it can be something that is a really great food product. And it's also really good for allergies, by the way. You take some of that local honey, it'll knock your allergies right out.
Hmm. As you travel the country, you know, you experience cotton farmers, peanut farmers, you know, people raising all kinds of things. But I think everybody has kind of the same issues right now, don't they?
Yeah, they're facing the same issues that the American family is facing, by the way. They're facing rising costs, whether it's the price of seed, feed, fertilizer, equipment, whatever the case may be, they're facing that crunch. And in the meantime, you know, the price of milk, the price of beef, the price of pork, the price of soybeans, the price of corn, none of those things are keeping pace. If they're either going up or down, if they're going up, they're not keeping pace with those expenses. So people are facing that crunch. And again, that's what farmers and consumers both are facing. So that's why I always say, you know, we're in league in this together. And as we share these stories about our family all across the country, we try to help people see how what's happening to the American farmers also happening to the American family.
Certainly, you know, we can kind of wallow in our sorrows, but you know, want to be proactive too. What are some things you suggest? You know, how do we get started to kind of try to turn things around?
Yeah, that's right. You know, I think about the resilience of our farm families. My grandma and grandpa, my great grandparents, I should say, traveled from Europe pre-World War I to America to try to find a better life, dig it out of the dirt. And what they found in this little valley in Driftless, Wisconsin, in the hills of southern Wisconsin, is that they were able to make a living on milk. And prior to that, they grew apples, they baked pies, they sold cream, they sold chickens, they sold bull calves, and they were able to make a living on milk. And that's the sort of thing that we look all around Wisconsin, you still see. You see all these small little cheese factories. And the reason for those is because we have the Master Cheesemaker Program in Wisconsin. It's the only one in the state. And it means that anybody who buys cheese from Wisconsin buys it from the Master Cheesemaker Program. And it's really something that's sought after all across the country. And that's one of the reasons you got more small cheese factories in Wisconsin than you do other places. That's also why you have more small farms. As farms got bigger and bigger and were forced to get bigger, get out, we had more small farms in Wisconsin because they had more choices for it. They could sell their milk. They could sell to any number of these small local cheese factories. And so these small local cheese factories, they represent that Wisconsin cheese industry that is such a proud thing and gives so many consumers choices on where they want to buy their cheese from. That's the kind of thing that we got to return to if we want to bring our farms back.
Your book, Land Rich, Cash Poor, has that been your most successful to date?
It has, yes. Land Rich, Cash Poor has been my most successful to date. As I say, we tell the story of why our farms are disappearing, the impact that's having all across the past century. And we tell stories from my family, four generations from the Great Depression on up through today. And I've been amazed at the response that we've gotten from people.
And I think people can relate. And, you know, I think we talked about it last August when you were on the program, but like what your farm family endured, you know, the Depression. But the 80s was no picnic either with the whole farm crisis that was going on.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You know, by the time we got to the 1980s, we had farm families that were squeezed between a pressure to get big or get out and a pressure to increase interest rates. So farms took on more debt from government programs. And then within a few years, those programs were made more expensive because the interest rates were increased. And what happens is you wipe out tens of thousands of farms. My parents, Jim and Jean Risinger, in southern Wisconsin, they were just a few short years before that getting married in 1976, and they were fighting off a drought. And they got through that drought by banding together with neighbors. There was an older neighbor down the road who didn't need all of his crop, and he told my dad they could go halves, meaning if my dad did the work, he could take half the crop and the old man would take half the crop. And that's how they got through. And if they hadn't done that, if my dad hadn't been able to get that crop, they would have had to take out extra debt before the 1980s. They would have gone into the 1980s with the kind of debt that wiped out tens of thousands of farms in Wisconsin and Iowa and Nebraska all over the country.
And you probably wouldn't be talking about a book right now either, would you?
That's absolutely right. That's absolutely right.
Yeah. What about your next book? Have you got that underway or working on it?
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking about it. I think a lot about our small towns in this country and the way that our small towns have shrank after we lost our farms and the way that our small towns have faced drug problems, the way they've faced job loss here in the 70s, 80s, and 90s before they began losing their farms a century ago. And I think there's a story to be told there. So that's what I'm looking into lately.
A lot of people concerned about the tariffs right now that are, you know, are or aren't on and that kind of thing. And kind of a worrisome thing for the rural area, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. You know, farmers are